The Wake Up Zone, 934 on 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. Alongside Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, Kevin Ingram, producer Morgan Alexander. Let's bring in Chris Lee from BandySports.com. Find out what's going on over in West End. Chris, how you doing this morning?
Excellent. You guys?
We're doing good. Basketball host Arkansas tomorrow. Last best chance for a win for this Vandy team, Chris. You think against the Hogs team that they almost beat in Fayetteville and really had a great chance of winning that game on the road?
Well, I mean, it's out of the SEC tournament. Well, they'll get one of the beatable teams in the league, although they had one of those Saturday and couldn't do it in that one. So who knows? But I would think so, because it's not going to come in Baton Rouge.
Are you seeing the demeanor are you seeing out of these guys? You know, all along it's been, even though they haven't won, they seem like they've kept going in the right direction as far as, you know, showing up and playing hard and all those things, and really playing some pretty good defense at times. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Kevin. It seems like about every other game, they'll have one of these things where they're down and they'll make a late run. They did it at Alabama. They did it against Texas A&M after blowing the lead. And they'll get to within two or four or something like that. And it's uncanny how they can never take the lead. They'll get it down to that, and then the other team will hit a three-pointer at the wrong time, or a three-point play, or they'll have a turnover. It just is unbelievable to me that they just hit a stop at that point so many times. And what that tells me, yeah, they're playing hard enough to where they can still be in the ball game, but I just think it's got to be a confidence issue, because every time they hit that point of the game, they're not able to take the lead, much less hold it. So it seems to me like most of those kids are playing hard. They just don't have the talent or the confidence to actually win a game.
From VandySports.com, our guest is Chris Lee.
Chris, I know you were paying attention to the combine there a little bit. Juwan Williams, I guess, was one of the Vandy guys, as well as Shermer, man. What did you think about their performances there? Did they help themselves or hurt themselves?
Well, the one that I was kind of watching was Williams, because I was always told that 40 time would be important. Before he really blew up, Blaine, What I had been hearing all fall was he had a chance to go, but the question was, is he fast enough to play corner in the league? Because some teams had viewed him as a safety for that reason. Now, I'm not one of these guys that thinks that stopwatch is everything. You've got to play on the field, and I think that comes with a set of instincts and reactions as a talent into itself. But you don't want to see a corner running in the 4.6s. I would give credit to where it's due, but I can't remember who tweeted this, but someone said corners that run 4.6s in the NFL, there's not a lot of them that are successful. I think the name, somebody with the Jets, was thrown out as one. But the point is, you're facing long odds to be a stud corner in the league if you run that time. Now, Juwan came out immediately and said, I can run faster, I will at my pro day, and maybe he will at one. But I thought a kid who was starting to get a significant amount of first-round buzz, I would have to think that knocks him down a round or two, unless he can improve that at his pro day.
Man, how's the quarterback competition going there in spring ball with the football team?
Well, it'd be nice to know. They have gone the route of everybody else in locking us out of practice. Now, I don't know if that's going to change. I'm hopeful that it will. The narrative all along was they would have a competition. Riley Neal, I think everybody expects to win the job. He would be my favorite. But Deuce Wallace, this time a year ago, I thought looked pretty good. They've had a lot of confidence that he can run the offense. He used that suspension to retool his body and work out maybe even harder than he could if he had to go to class and all the things at Vandy. So I'm interested to see when we get access again how close it is between those two.
Chris, I think I ask you this every time you call, but to me it's a big discussion, I know, on your website, and that is, what, in your mind, what are the percentages that Bryce Drew comes back next year?
I think it's pretty high. I just don't think the climate behind the scenes is that to where he's going to get fired. I think John Ingram supports him pretty strongly. Now, Malcolm Turner is the AD, and he can do what he wants to do, but I think they laid, and I keep going back to this, my apologies, but I go back, and I think they laid groundwork to keep Derek. when they were making that change ahead of time, and you saw him get an extension. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do the same thing with Bryce, extend his contract, but Vanderbilt has been notorious for letting guys work through their problems. I've talked to people who've told me the good and the bad. There's still a confidence that he can, of course, not this season, turn it around, but long-term be a good coach. Now, my question I have is, what's that look like? Their attendance is declining. You got to have a good season, I think, in the next year or two, and we'll wait and see next year what that can be like, because we don't know what the roster is going to be. Certainly, I think he has lost a ton of support. Their attendance numbers are horrible. I think he's got the support of the right people and is going to keep his job next year. I would not bet the house on it, but I would be very shocked if that's not true.
Think maybe he is encouraged to get maybe a veteran coach to sit on the bench with him.
Yeah, and I think there's already been a little bit of groundwork in terms of looking around, whether it's an assistant or it is a consultant. You know, I don't know what they're going to have permission to do from Malcolm Turner. There's been a couple names that have been thrown around to me privately. I'm not at liberty to share those yet, but I think that they recognize there's a piece missing somewhere. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that an assistant will get demoted or move on, or it means they just add a consultant like Nick Saban's got a million of in football. I don't know what that looks like, but I would be very, very surprised if there's not some sort of change of that nature.
As far as baseball is concerned, and you guys do a great job of covering it, you know, you look, and Kevin has said this too, that this team has a chance to be really special. You see that too?
It does, but they're not there yet. I was looking this weekend at Boys World Icers, which I think they do a good job. They're sort of the Ken Pomeroy for baseball. They're 26th right now. Now, I think they've got a little bit of bad luck underneath the stats with not hitting with guys in scoring position. I think that'll turn around. I think the pitching staff's hit some patches of bad luck. And I also think that this is kind of the Tim Corbin way anymore. He doesn't go full gas pedal to the floor this early in the season. He experiments around. My point in all that is saying they're not great yet. I think they have a chance to be great. I love their lineup. I have some questions about them consistently being able to throw strikes out of the bullpen. I have some questions as to whether they have maybe two number two starters rather than a one and a two at the top of their rotation. So there's some concerns, but Mark, I'm telling you, they're going to hit at least seven or eight deep in the lineup. Maybe they'll hit at third base. Maybe they won't. But that's about as talented a lineup, 1-9, as they have ever fielded. And they've got enough arms pitching-wise, enough talented guys, that even if some guys don't turn out like we thought, a lot of them will. I think it's a really talented team with an exceptionally high floor. I want to see how they answer their questions in terms, again, of the bullpen strike throwing and the top end of the rotation. And if they are what a lot of people think they can be, then I think, yes, it's an elite team. But they've got to answer those things, I think, to get where they ultimately want to go.
Boy, the top of that order with Davis and Martin and Bleday has been fantastic. And when you have a guy like Ethan Paul batting seventh in your batting order, he'd bat in the middle of the lineup for most teams. It's, as you said, Chris, it's a pretty good group that they're going to put out there at the plate every single time out. So, I've seen him play a lot.
Having a very underrated year too. Yeah.
But yeah, they look.
I mean,
look good.
They're tough.
Chris, thank you so much. We appreciate it as always.
You bet.
Okay. VandySports.com. It's Chris Lee joining us here on the Wake Up Zone. Everything on West End, he covers it when it comes to Vandy basketball, baseball, football, of course, and joins us here from time to time. We always appreciate it. Coming up next, thing or two for Mark to watch for in tonight's Preds Wild matchup as they play for the second time in 3 days. We'll do that when we come back. First, Mark's going to tell us about C Spire.
That's right. The C Spire tech movement is taking over the region because the Southeast and the Mid-South can't compete for the technology jobs of the future without the proper resources or training. So C Spire is investing in the education, infrastructure, and people to make the Southeast and the Mid-South number one in technology. Only 10% of our high schools teach AP computer science, so C Spire is teaming up with schools and public partners to give teachers the training and resources they need to teach it in their classrooms.